Welcome to the Home Project Podcast, where we talk about cultivating a thriving home and developing meaningful relationships. I'm Kelsey Harris, a therapist in training.
And I'm Alicia Anderson, an intentional homemaker, helping women feel confident and authentic home life.
This is where everyone has a seat at the table. So, can you redo it?
Go ahead, just go.
Okay. So, Mom, today I want to start by asking you a question.
All right.
What was your first thought when you looked in the mirror this morning?
Ooh, okay. So, I hop out of my bed and my mirror is just like literally at the end of my bed on the wall. So, it doesn't take me long to look into the mirror on my way to the bathroom. My first thought this morning, truth, was I looked in the mirror at my face and I went, I have these bags under my eyes that are really bugging me right now. And like this crease, I don't know if it's from just losing weight or just my age or just all the things. So anyway, that was my first thought, was frustration at the bags under my eyes.
Sounds like a little bit of insecurity.
Insecurities.
Yep.
Yes.
Insecurity, which is what we're talking about today. Insecurities. Do you want to know what my first thought was?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that.
This is kind of funny. My mirror, I get out of my bed. Well, I have one in my room, but I don't really, I'm too tired. Like, it's not really in my field of vision.
Right.
And I go to the bathroom and then it's to my left. So I kind of just look to the side and I thought, I got a good booty.
Nice.
That was my, that was my first thought. So there is hope that one.
Yes.
There is a day where you can look in the mirror and think you look awesome.
Not every thought is bad.
Not every thought. But insecurities are real and it is something that we all struggle with in various forms and areas of our lives. So today we want to talk about it because I feel like a lot of people don't talk about it.
Yeah.
In my mind, simply put, insecurities are places where we do not understand our identity through God's eyes.
Yes.
So your thought about yourself tells me that you do not have the full revelation of the fact that God fearfully and wonderfully made you as you are.
That is true.
Would you think that's true?
Yes, 100%.
Not to say that you don't believe that the Lord made you beautiful, but it is the areas where we don't have like a full understanding of what he says about us that then those lies come in as insecurities.
I think there are seasons too where it's more than other seasons. You know, like I'm coming out of a tough season of that where I was very hard on myself, to a place where I have had some revelation recently with the Lord and sitting with the Lord about my identity and how I had actually put my identity in a lot of things but him. So yes, I still have negative thoughts by all means, for sure, but I have more of an awareness and it's an area that God is working deeply in my heart on. And so I've made some conscious choices. I've been, you know, doing some steps, which we're going to talk about later, to work on that self-image and who just walking in that revelation. Obviously, we know where insecurities come from, the liar, the one who deceives and takes truth, and that's the enemy who distorts truth. So something we may start with a truth, but then it's skewered, or it just may be a straight up negative thought that is in our mind.
Yeah.
And I think he knows that if we do not have a full revelation of who we are in Christ, that we will function out of that place of distortion rather than out of truth. And we will not fully walk in what God's called us to. So every one of us gets the opportunity to work on this area in our lives.
Yeah.
And what that does for us.
Yeah. And I think you're so right about that there are seasons where you struggle with it more. I know when I first went, I went to Bethel's ministry school for 3 years and radically changed my life.
Yeah.
And when I went there, I was riddled with insecurity. Like in every area you could think of, I was insecure and full of fear. And so I kind of spent 3 years in what I can only probably describe as spiritual boot camp, where I went after all the places I was feeling insecure. And then even like when we're talking about this now, I'm like, if I actually, in the area of what I think of myself as far as like in the mirror, if I think long and hard about the times that I feel insecure about my body or my face, it's really little to none. Like I would
say
few thoughts a week, maybe not that. So just to like say that there are seasons where you're doing a lot of hard work on all the time. And then there's seasons now for me, like I have a day or two where I'm like, oh, okay, those curves are curving a little more than I would like.
Yeah.
But that there are seasons that you will feel more free, and it's not like you will always be stuck battling them. But even not to say that I'm completely free of all insecurity, because I think an area right now that's hard for me is I get insecure about, like, do people want to be my friend, I guess?
Right.
Or do I belong in this room? And it's like a temptation for me to be like, if I walk into a room and I don't really know somebody super well in certain areas, like I'm thinking of like kids team at church, there's a chance for me to retreat and be like, oh, well, maybe they don't want to talk to me, maybe, and kind of feed off those insecurities and lies. Yeah. Or if I go, no, the Lord has made me wonderful and I have things that people need in a friendship, so I'm just going to walk up to that person and talk to them.
Yeah, that's good.
But it's still like that area is still a struggle for me at times right now.
And there's that whole area of like the subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like how many thoughts do we have we don't even recognize that we have?
Yeah, probably a lot. So if you're listening, we actually want to do a little exercise with you. Close your eyes, unless you're driving, but close your eyes and bring attention to the thoughts in your head. Does it feel like the thoughts are swirling? Are you hearing a lot of different voices? Are you hearing negative voices? Maybe you have a running to-do list in your mind. Maybe it's, oh, I'm failing in this area. Oh, I wasn't a good mom this morning. I yelled at my kids. Oh, my husband didn't even tell me I was beautiful. Oh, my friend canceled on me. She might not want to see me. How many negative thoughts are bouncing in your mind right now?
A lot.
Perhaps a lot.
Yeah.
And I think this is because the mind is our battlefield.
Yeah. It says, we were just looking this up, that on average, the person, a human being, has 60,000 thoughts a day, which is a lot of
That's
thoughts.
A lot of thoughts.
And out of those 60,000, the average person, not saying this is everyone, the average person has 40,000 of those are negative.
Wow.
So more than half. So again, I'm not speaking that over. I'm not saying that is your norm, but that is the average person. And I think how many of those are like in the back of our mind that we don't even recognize. And today we want to just talk about how do the insecurities affect us spiritually, emotionally, physically,
mentally,
all of the things. I'm going to read a quote from Dr. Hyman, who is a medical doctor that does a lot of stuff with health and vitality of life. And he says, every cell in your body is constantly listening to your thoughts. Your thoughts have real and measurable effects on your body and your brain. Your immune cells know your deepest feelings. And I know I've heard this so many times, how people who live under extreme anxiety and stress and negativity have sometimes very adverse effects on their physical body. Even a lot of ailments, a lot of disease, they say people under high stress, like that adds to a lot of those things.
Wow. So. I think that really helps us bring awareness to, yes, it's a mental struggle, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
It's affecting your actual body, like you're saying.
Yeah. A few months back, went under some extreme stress and dealt with a lot, like I was saying, a lot of negative thoughts. I have never experienced my body consumed by negativity in that way, where it like literally crippled me physically. And it really made me aware of just the power of our thoughts. And this was the area where God was dealing with me, like, are you going to like give way to that? Or are you going to partner with what I say and what? Like, and I literally watched my physical body change, my emotional state, my mind shift as I began to do that. And I know we're going to talk about that a little bit more here in a little bit of just how to do that. But it's proof. Like, I've walked that personally to understand how much our thoughts and our insecurities can literally have an impact on us.
Yeah, that makes me think about this book that I've been reading, which funny enough is actually about communion. It's called The Power of Communion by Benny Johnson. And I just want to read, it's like a page and a half from the book. So it's a little bit lengthy, but it's really good. She's talking about the mind and kind of this whole thing. So it says, memory is a powerful tool. It shapes our present by creating expectation for repetition. The brain is literally creating pathways for your thought patterns. Some of the discussion of this began in the New Age movement, but now scientists who study the brain are confirming what the Bible says. What you allow your mind to dwell on shapes your expectations and ultimately your perception of the world. The neurons in the brain strengthen and change with our thought patterns. The more you make certain connections, the more likely your brain will make that connection in the future. Some describe it similarly to the way a popular hiking trail gets worn down and widened. For example, if you're used to thinking the world is out to get you, then that neural pathway will have a strong connection in your brain. And if something happens to you, you might think, well, there it goes again. I knew bad things happened to me. And then Benny goes on to say, but the grace of the Lord always makes room for transformation. You can change these neural pathways by what you set your mind on. As Dr. Stokes, a psychologist, explains, as you practice traveling down new pathways, you naturally weaken old pathways. As you think similar thoughts and feel similar feelings, you either create new habits and beliefs or solidify old ones. Eventually, through repetition and feeling intensity, your new habits run on autopilot. So essentially, when Paul writes to the Colossians and advises them, set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's not just a nice idea, it's actually advice that will change the hardwiring of our brains.
That's so good.
Right?
Yeah. I think about, I mean, this is very similar, driving down a country road where the ruts are deep and yeah. you can't help but your car just navigates to those ruts because that's where it fits most comfortably. And how often, until we actually fill in the ruts or we form new ones, mm-hmm. you're going to slide right back into that. And so there is power in actually bringing transformation to our thinking. And God actually has given us the ability to do that.
Yeah.
The tools.
Well, it's totally like, I've even seen this happen in my own life and in people around me. If you have a belief that like you are stupid or that you always mess up, the second that you spill water, you're instead of being like, oh man, that kind of sucks, let me clean up, you're like, oh my gosh, why did I spill this water? I'm so stupid. I'm so dumb. Yeah. But you're like, what? Like if you heard someone say that to a kid, you would be like, you're crazy. Like,
yeah.
But it's sometimes even subconscious. You don't know that your brain is just so used to being like, yep, we suck, to just going straight to those kind of negative thoughts. And
yeah,
that's sad.
Well, and I think I'm going to actually get really personal. You and I had a conversation a few weeks ago and I was saying something. I don't remember the exact example. So I was saying something and it was a negativity about myself and some hurt I was feeling. And you challenged me and you were like, so is that from a old mindset, a lie about yourself that you believe? And I had to think about that and be like, well, yeah, I think there is some truth to that, that I assume that because I've fallen back into that rut of, you know, so sometimes like we don't even recognize it for ourselves. Maybe that we're like falling back into that pattern.
Yeah.
You know, into that lie again of that we don't measure up or we aren't good enough.
That's why we need other people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Other people that hear from the Lord and walk with the Lord and can challenge us.
Yeah. Well, also I think our insecurities not only impact us and our bodies, but we can also affect those around us in a lot of different ways. I think about as a mom, obviously my kids are grown. It doesn't mean I don't have an impact on you, but even like as a mom with say younger children, and your insecurities, what kind of things are you projecting on your kids? Are you expecting from your kids that are not theirs to maybe areas of validation to bring you? What does that look like for you? And we all, as moms, have moments where like, am I doing this right? Am I messing my kids up? I hope this is going to be okay. Like, we want to do a good job and we can just question that. But then I know for sure there were times where I would look to you or Jaden to validate me as a mom. Well, if they want to be with me or if they aren't mad at me, then I'm being a good mom. Like, honestly, looking back, I'm like, okay, that's kind of, it feels a little bit distorted and twisted. But in the moment, like looking for validation,
yeah,
even very much so with my husband, like, I hope, you know, we've talked about this a few times, like, oh, I hope he calls me beautiful today. I hope he notices I've worked really hard to like look good at my outfit. And not that it's wrong to want compliments from our husband, but yeah, when those become replacement,
yeah,
for, or they become the thing that gives us our identity, then we are looking in the wrong place.
Yeah. Insecurities create holes in ourselves.
Yeah.
And then the enemy like drives us to look to people to fill those holes rather than getting that fulfillment from the Lord.
Yeah.
Which is what you're saying. Like,
yeah,
if I have a hole and I do not even believe in myself that the Lord made me beautiful, then I'm going to turn to my husband or to my friends, like, and I'm going to measure my worth on how many compliments I get,
yep,
how much food is getting put in my hole that I have now,
yeah,
rather than, no, the Lord made me, yeah, this way. And that's the truth.
Well, eventually those holes are going to be empty again because they can't actually, yeah, plug the holes. Like, nope. So no matter how many times your husband compliments you or your friends validate you or your kids, like any of those things, they will not bring a lasting result. There is only one solution. And that is Jesus Christ and what he says about us.
Yeah. Another aspect of how insecurities are affecting us is that the enemy knows that our minds are the place where he can make us feel inferior.
Mm.
And from this place, if he can help us, if he can make us feel inferior, then usually he can get us to move into comparison and judgment.
Yeah.
I think about even in the seasons of my life when I was insecure about my body,
yep,
and I would see a friend wear a certain outfit, was totally not, it was a totally fine outfit, but I feel insecure. And so then I'm going to go in my head, oh, how could she even wear that? That's right. Like I start going judgment, comparison, shaming her, even in my own mind, just because I'm insecure, yeah, about myself. So then he's really using that to create divide between us and other people. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And I think even just being aware of how many times we maybe have those, or you're sitting here scrolling through Instagram and like, oh, I, you know, whatever, yeah, the thoughts start to go. And I think comparison is a really big one that breeds and like, mm-hmm, festers insecurities in us. Even if we're not like sitting there going, oh, I hate myself. These fleeting thoughts that pass through our mind,
yeah,
as we're looking like, oh, I wish I had a house that nice. Oh, I wish I was, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think all comparison stems from a place of insecurity, yeah, because if you know in your mind, like, the Lord puts me where I need to be. I am held in his hand. My steps are ordered by him.
Yeah.
Most often then when you're looking and you see someone has a bigger house than you, you're like, oh my gosh, you actually have like gratitude. Oh, I'm so great. I'm so grateful that they have that going on for them. And I'm, right, so grateful for the house that I have right now because I know the Lord has ordered my steps. Like,
yeah,
you know.
How quickly we can turn it around. So there are some steps to really being able to recognize insecurities. The best version of ourselves is when we walk in the likeness of Christ, which we've been saying. When we give a voice to insecurities, then we are not living in the fullness of Christ and what he has made us to be. So the first step is actually recognizing insecurities. Some of those, a lot of those are in our subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. So inviting Holy Spirit to bring them to the forefront of our mind, having an awareness,
yeah,
of these thoughts. When they're looking for a counterfeit bill, and some of you may have heard the story before, they don't look and study all the different counterfeits because there's a bazillion of them. It's harder to like recognize, dollars. But what they study is the actual bill, the genuine, authentic dollar bill or $10 bill, whatever. So that when they see a counterfeit, because they know the original version, the true version, they can recognize the counterfeit. And honestly, like the way we think, it's the same way. When we fully understand who Christ says we are in this word of God,
yep,
which is the place we can come for truth, the more truth we have in our minds and our hearts and on our mouths, the more we will recognize when the enemy plants a seed or a lie in our hearts. And we're like, oh, that does not actually line up with what God's word says. In Romans 12:2, it says, let me just pull it up here. Oh, where did it go? Okay. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. That this will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. And then also Philippians 4 verse 8 says, keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. So the Bible is very clear about our thoughts and what we are to do with yes. them. And there's many other verses that we can share, but our greatest weapon against the lies of the enemy is God's word.
Yeah. And I think also what you're saying is step one to recognize these insecurities is to spend more time looking at the Lord and asking Him what He thinks of you.
Yes.
And then from that place, you're aware. Because if you wake up in the morning and you make a practice of sitting in your bed for 60 seconds longer and going, yep. God, what do you say about me today? What do you think about me today? And He gives you a, you are the most precious thing I've ever created.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, cool. It's like you can put that on as like a shield and also have that in the forefront of your mind. And then you go about your day. And when you hear those negative thoughts pop into your mind of like, oh, well, maybe my face isn't that cute. Then it's like, no, the Lord told me this morning that yeah. He preciously made me.
Yeah. That is good.
That's a good
first step. It's not saying that you won't have the thoughts either. It's
no, it just taking helps those thoughts shift.
Captive. Yes.
Yeah.
And actually bringing them in. And actually that brings me to this scripture in 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians 10:5. And this is just something that over the years I personally have like spoke over myself. Sometimes I have to talk to myself out loud. I'm just one of those people. Yes. And I think there is power in us declaring God's word out loud for our mind to hear. And so it says, it's 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. So I literally sometimes put my head, my hands on my head, and I'm like, you mind, you will come into line in obedience with Christ. Like I'm speaking that over my thoughts, over my mind, declaring out loud that I am making a choice to surrender and submit my thoughts to the Lord and say, Lord, would you bring an awareness? Would you help me to see areas? And would you bring these thoughts that need to be dealt with to the forefront of my mind so that I can submit them under the obedience of Christ and help me to reap, to see your truth?
Yeah. And not only does this help our spirits and our minds, but also I want to kind of link back to what you shared from Dr. Hyman. Our physical bodies are experiencing the shift in what we say out loud.
Yeah.
I remember, I don't remember the details, but I remember a story about when they were studying water molecules, I think yes. it was,
mm-hmm.
and they would like put the water molecules under the microscope and they would speak like negative words and it would literally like... I don't really know. I'm not sciencey enough to know what specifically they were looking at, but the like, it would change dark and cloudy. And then when they would speak, you're so kind, you're beautiful, like kind things to the water molecules,
yeah.
then the water would change and go bright. Well, our body is like made up of so much water.
Yeah.
So it's like when we are speaking things out loud over ourselves, it's literally changing how our bodies are reacting and living.
Yeah. I've been recently practicing this with my own body and I've been on a weight loss journey and just a health journey to gain better health in my life. And I've had to learn to just speak over to my body and say, hey, you know, you need to like let go of this things that you've held onto, let go of the lies and receive health and watching my body transform. And of course I've had to put in hard work. It's not just a, oh, I lose the weight and, you know, I had to put in the hard work, but there was a mental shift that happened first and foremost,
yeah,
of my mind and my thoughts about myself. And even there were times where I was like, oh, well, what if I don't lose the weight? I'm probably stuck. I found myself also like speaking these things out, my fears, also insecurities that God would not help me or that I would not be able to do it. And the Lord was very quick to like quicken my mind and go, that is not what I've said about you. That is not what I've said over you.
Yeah. Again, that is making me think of that if you are letting insecurities run rampant in your life, you are forever chasing a counterfeit love.
Yeah.
Because it's also insecurity is a place that you have not encountered God's love. Because I think about people who say, you can lose all the weight, you can get plastic surgery, you can get your hair colored, but it will never end unless you have this revelation of who God made you to be. Because even if you do lose all the weight, if you still are insecure, it's not going to matter what you look like. You're still going to go, oh, well, you're just going to find something else.
You'll have other insecurities.
Yeah, like another thing to chase. Yeah. Which leads me to another great step of overcoming these insecurities are declarations. So these are just like truths that you are speaking out loud over yourself. And I think declarations help us exchange insecurity for truth.
Yes.
This even makes me think of Ephesians 6 when it's talking about putting on the armor of God. So in verse 11, it says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. And then later in verse 13, I want to read like the whole actual armor. It says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. But just that, like, even imagining and saying out loud, God, I put on the belt of truth.
Yeah.
I walk around with your truth shielding my body. And then on a more practical note, there are personalized lists of declarations you can make for yourself.
Yeah.
So you can, if you struggle with how you look in the mirror, that's like the easiest example that yes. So we keep referencing that. But if you struggle with like, okay, my own example, how about, So when I was going through all of my insecurity journey at Bethel, I really hated how my nose looked. I thought my nose was too pointy. I didn't really think that people would find me beautiful. I'm a little curvy and my neck kind of, like, what do you call it? Décolleté, I think is the fancy name for it. But my like neck and shoulder just, I don't know, was bothering me. So I took this class and they were like, yeah, you need to make a list. Like, ask the Holy Spirit what the truths are attached to these lies that you have. And so my lie was my nose is ugly. So I came up with these lists and every day I would look in the mirror and say them out loud. That's so important.
Yes.
You can't just say them in your head. You got to say them out loud. And I would go, I have a cute nose. People find me beautiful.
Yeah.
I attract like kind people or like people are interested in talking to me, stuff like that. And
yes. And
my neck and shoulder is beautiful or like, I look so cute today, just like stuff like that. And they would change. And I would ask the Lord, I think about every week or so, do they need to change or they need to stay the same?
Yeah.
So after about doing this for like 1 week, I went to school and literally two guys randomly stopped me and were like, not to be weird, but you look so cute today. I was like, oh, okay, thanks. Like, I had never been approached like that before. And then we go into another like small group kind of setting and someone's like, Kelsey, you just have the cutest nose. I just wanted to tell you. And I was almost freaked out. Like, have you been in my room when I've been talking to myself?
Who's been listening?
But it's like these declarations were literally changing to be truth in my mind. And then that's also what I was like projecting outward to other people was like, no, hey guys, I have a cute nose. Don't you think my nose is cute? Like subconsciously, it kind of works that way. So all of this to say, sit with the Holy Spirit. Ask if you need help. There should be a list on our Instagram. You can also reach out to us if you need help coming up with a list, but also ask the Holy Spirit, like, what is a list of declarations that I can begin to say over myself? And then they're often the opposite of whatever lie that you're experiencing.
Yeah. couple ways I think practically you can do that is I'll just share some of my previous experiences. There's a lot of different ways you can do this, but like I've in my journal on one side put the lies I've believed. Mm. And as those lies have popped up, I've written them down. But then on the other page, the truth of what God says. So having that, and that's the list I go to when I'm needing to speak out those declarations. What does God say? And if you don't know, go to His Word. His yep. Word is full. I actually have in the back of my Bible here, it says, what does the Lord say about me? And it's scriptures that I just have written out over time that have spoke to me personally. And so when I'm having a day where I am struggling with insecurities, while I'm sitting with the Lord, I pull this thing out and I start reading these things out loud over myself. And I keep it at a place where I can access it quickly. Also, if you were to look in my notes on my phone, I have a ton of notes about scriptures that the Bible says about me. I've also, in addition, because I like to do it multiple ways, I'll screenshot the verse that, like, if I come across a verse, I'm like, oh, it resonates with my heart. And I'm like, this is what the Lord's saying over me. My husband laughs at me for this, but I take a picture of it. He's like, why don't you just like bookmark it? I don't know. There's just something about, for me, having a picture and then I put them in a folder. So I have access. So I'm building up a weaponry of
yes.
defenses against the enemy
yeah.
that I have at my fingertips. Now, here's one more that I haven't done in a long time, but I used to do this when I was younger, especially with small children, and I don't have a lot of time to sit and read. I record myself on a voice memo reading the scriptures.
Oh.
And then either I'm in the car or if I was maybe rocking you to sleep or doing the dishes, I would literally play those back. So I'm hearing my voice say the scriptures. I don't have to sit there and be, you know, so it's a constant like yeah. reinforcement and you're yeah. hearing your own voice say it. So there are so yeah. many ways that you can yes. go about it.
Personally, I have two more to add to
okay,
that.
Okay, that's great. Let's go.
In that season of like really heavy insecurity work, I would write them on my mirror
yeah.
or put like sticky notes on my mirror. And then as I was doing my hair every day, I would say, okay, I am cute. Or, you know, all the, yeah. all the things. Or also, I have, even right now, I have a scripture that I've screenshotted and then put as a screensaver on my phone. That's so great. Every time I pick up my phone, I can see it and read it and be reminded what the Lord says about me. Yeah. And so these are a bunch of different ways that you can work on insecurity. Like we said, I think there are seasons where you are doing more heavy grunt work.
Yeah.
And then eventually you get to a place where you can kind of simultaneously just do all of these little steps in one moment.
Yeah.
So for example, if something comes up, like if you have an interaction and you can feel yourself kind of shut down or you suddenly recognize, oh, I'm insecure right now. Then if yeah. you're in the middle of a conversation, even I've done this with Jordan, I'm like, hey, babe, actually, I'm going to pause this conversation because I have something I need to go take care of with the Lord. Otherwise, this will not be a fruitful conversation.
Yeah.
So you can pause like that. Or if you're in a public setting, like go to the bathroom and it's just like, okay, God, that lie is coming up again. Yeah. Help me break partnership with it. And what's your truth? What can you exchange with me instead? Or yeah. God, I'm recognizing I'm feeling inadequate and insecure in this area. What part of my identity do I not understand right now? Yeah. And it's like a minute or 2 minute exchange. And then yeah. you can go about your day.
I think what's important to remember too, if we just recognize the lie, but we don't exchange it for truth, like if the rut is still in the road, but you don't do anything to fill in mm-hmm. that rut or change that pathway,
yeah.
you're going to just keep falling back in the rut. So recognizing it, going, yep, that's a lie.
Yeah.
But if you do not take the hard work of uh-huh. filling in that rut or changing your neuro, you literally have the opportunity to change the way your mind functions by declaring out the word of God.
Yeah.
And at first, it might just be you reading it out. You might be like, I don't know if my mind actually believes this.
Yeah.
But the more you say it, the more you repeat it, the more you continue to rebuild and repair that neural pathway, it will have yeah. an impact on you.
And I also invite you not to put a timeline on it.
Yeah.
You may do it 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you might not feel the physical shift, but I invite you to commit to it until you feel and hear something shift, you know, until you are recognizing that your subconscious thoughts are a little bit more positive.
Yeah. And I think there's always going to be, I mean, God's word is a daily thing. It's a thing that we're never going to be like, oh, I have arrived. I'm no longer insecure.
Oh, for sure not.
It's going to obviously ebb and flow
yeah.
with seasons, but we all face that. Every single human is, no one is exempt from feeling insecure at one level or next.
Yeah.
So
I think we should pray
over
you, listener, and your journey with insecurities, and then we'll wrap it up. So Jesus, we thank you for whoever is sitting on the other side of this phone and is listening to this. And I just pray that you would be able to strengthen them, that they would feel your strength. They would feel your protection over their mind, that you would begin to give them strategies of how to exchange these lies for truth. And I just ask that your presence would just fill their room or their car right now, that they would feel you with them, that they would know your love and know that they can do this with you, that their minds can shift. We just thank you that, mindset shifts can be easy. And we thank you for the perfect mind of Christ.